I'm Dale Behan, President and Chief Executive Officer of the Western Company of Texas. You're in the oil and gas business. You know how important it is to transfer water efficiently and timely to your completion job. That's where the Western Company of Texas can step in and be your partner. We've earned the reputation here in the Barnett Shale as a premier water transfer company because of our dedication to quality and service. We have the largest inventory of irrigation pipe and transfer pumps available to fit any and all of your water transfer needs. Plus, we can work with your team to secure water as well as rights of way. And finally, I can promise you that we will always be ready to go 24/7. So give us a call at 940-648-3434. That's 940-648-3434. We have locations in Cleveland, Fort Worth, Ponder, Hyco, and Weatherford. Give our dedicated water transfer team a call at 940-648-3434. The Western Company of Texas, the guys with the green pumps.
Alyssa Walker Campbell delivers sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews, beyond the X's and O's. Think big. The Big E Sports Show.
Alyssa Walker Campbell, we are back this weekend on the Big E Sports Show as we get set to tee it up with a very special Texan, and he is one of the very best to have ever played the game of golf. Tom Kite is a very familiar name right here in the Lone Star State, but he is also recognized worldwide for his contributions to the sport as a player. He's known for his consistency, had 19 PGA Tour wins, and still at the very young age of 59 years old, he continues to light up that golf course. I also might add in our open that Tom Kite is a very successful golf course designer and has completed several courses. In fact, we are going to be highlighting on this weekend show a very special one that is nestled on the coast of Jersey City, New Jersey, and it is titled Liberty National. And let me tell you, I had so much fun going to TomKiteDesign.com and checking out all of these websites. It was fabulous, and the golf courses. So we are so delighted to welcome to the program for the first time and is joining us on the Western Company of Texas phone line, Mr. Tom Kite. Tom, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you, Lisa. Nice to be with you.
Well, we certainly have a lot of ground to cover, and I always like to start things off. I'm kind of interested in how you got started in the sport of golf and who perhaps inspired you to pick up a club and start swinging it.
Well, my dad took up the game after he got out of the war, in the late 40s. And of course, I was born in December of 49, so when he got back, he had just taken up the game. He had a bunch of people that he ran around with that kind of insulted him and cajoled him into taking up the game, and the golf bug bit him pretty hard. So the first 5, 6, 7, 8 years of my life, Dad was absolutely just a hooked beginning golfer and getting better all the time. And, of course, I would just kind of tag along with him as he would go out and hit golf balls early on. And then when I got a little bit older, I could go out and play some golf with him. And we just had a great relationship growing up. And he was kind of my inspiration and my role model. And I worked almost exclusively with him. Actually, we were living in Dallas at the time, and working with Dad and with an old pro there at Dallas called Joe Dreisbeck. And Joe was a fantastic person and a great pro, and he had a great junior program there for us. And that kind of got me started a little bit. And then when I was 12 years old, Dad got transferred down to Austin, Texas, and I came down here, and lo and behold, one of the top teachers in the game, maybe the top teacher in the game, Harvey Phoenix, was the head professional at the Austin Country Club. And so from the time I was 12 years old, I had a chance to be guided and taught by Harvey Pinnick, which was a tremendous blessing.
You mentioned Harvey Pinnick, of course, the renowned, the legendary coach. Was he the one that really pinpointed and discovered that, you know, you had that special gift and that you weren't just a typical golfer wanting to play the game?
You know, I don't think anybody else can pinpoint that. I think that's up to the individual. It's what's inside that person, and there are a lot of people that enjoy playing, that they're not a lot of people that really want to go whole hog, just 100% dedicate themselves to trying to do something that much. At 12 years old, I knew that I wanted to play professional golf. And of course, there were a lot of people, a lot of kids my age that said, yeah, I'd love to play professional golf. But, I mean, I knew that I wanted to do it. I didn't want to do anything else. And so, I dedicated everything to it. But Harvey certainly had a tremendous impact on that. He recognized that I had this drive and this ambition, and he wholeheartedly supported it and gave me so many different ways of becoming a better player. He was a great teacher and a great inspiration and a great person.
Who were some of the role models, besides, of course, talking about your coach, Harvey Penick, who were some of the guys that you tried to emulate out on the golf course during your time?
It's interesting that you asked that, because one of the things that Harvey was pretty renowned for was being a teacher of the individual. He didn't really have a system. He didn't really try to make everybody like everybody else. And he wanted that person to become as much of an individual as they could. And consequently, when it came to role models, he wanted us to admire players and to learn from them, both the good things and the bad things that they did. But he didn't really want us to idolize or worship any of those players, because he felt like it was important for us to have our own identity. And, of course, I think that's one of the reasons why Harvey was able to teach so many different personalities and styles of golfers and have them be very successful. Ben Crenshaw and I grew up together, and as much as I like and enjoy being around Ben, and I hope he enjoys being around me, we are entirely different types of personalities and have different ways of becoming good players. But Harvey was able to take us and mold us and teach us and help us become better players, and we both had what ultimately turned into Hall of Fame careers, but in two entirely different styles.
And I can only imagine that you and Ben Crenshaw had some pretty good battles there at UT.
Oh, yeah, there's no question about that. Not only UT, but from the time I was 12 and Ben was 10, starting at that age, we had some great battles. But, I've always said that the luckiest break I ever had in my career was my dad being transferred to Austin, Texas from Dallas, because I got to work under the guidance of Harvey Penick against great competition like Ben Crenshaw.
And, of course, you were born in McKinney, Texas, and then you said, your dad was transferred, so you were raised in Austin. Was it always your dream? We know it was your dream to be a professional golfer, but to go to the University of Texas on a golf scholarship, because that obviously was very, very huge.
I was a big University of Texas fan, no question about it, but when it came to choosing a school, I was looking for my best option to help me become the best player. And there were a number of schools that were golf powers at the time that I took a good look at. I looked at Florida, I looked at Stanford, I looked at Wake Forest, and obviously I looked at the University of Houston, because legendary coach Dave Williams had won so many national championships down there. But I really liked what was going on at the University of Texas, and Coach Hannon George Hannon was the golf coach there. And he was really building a great program. He had had a number of good players that had come the years prior to my getting there. And the program was getting better and better, and there was more competition between Texas and the University of Houston and those other schools. And I felt like it was only a question of time before the University of Texas turned into one of the national powers, and I wanted to be a part of that. So.
And you obviously were, and of course was able to win two national championships, right?
That's correct, yeah. It started before me, but the building program really, really escalated as it went through there. And of course, when I committed to Texas, that helped a little bit. And then when Ben committed to Texas, all of a sudden we had the makings of national powers.
He has won 19 PGA Tour victories, including, we've got a highlight, 1992, the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach. We are talking to the magnificent Tom Kite, PGA great and World Hall of Fame golfer. And one of the questions, as we've followed your career, one of the things that is so interesting is how you've been able to maintain such a level of not only longevity, but consistency within the game of golf, because that little white ball can be so elusive sometimes. How have you been able to, Tom, to perform at such a high peak and at such a high level for so long? Because what are we talking, 30 years or more?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, well, I mean, the game is fickle for all of us. There's no question about it. I don't care at what level you play. There are times that, you know, the game is very, very frustrating. I mean, you know, a perfect example just happened, you know, a month or so ago with Tiger missing the cut at the British Open. I mean, there's the number one player in the game, and he's won five tournaments this year, and yet he misses the cut at one of the major championships. I mean, who would have ever in a million years thought that? So, you know, even the best have struggled with the game from time to time. But, you know, I've taken pride in the fact that I've really tried to educate myself on the game and educate myself on my own game and the golf swing. And so, consequently, I think I have a pretty good understanding of it. You know, I try to, if something gets off, I try to catch it before it gets too bad. You know, similar to what Tiger did after the British Open, you know, he came back right after that and won the next two tournaments. So, you know, he obviously had a very disappointing week at the British, but he caught it quick, made the corrections, and put himself on the right course to get himself in a good position to win. And that's what I've tried to do throughout my career, just not let it, not let those swing flaws fester and get to where they're really major problems. Try to catch them when they're very minor.
The great Tom Kite is along with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We want to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com and twitter.com, and type in eradiosports. We're on the web. We're in several different states right now, and even international. We're in Sydney, Australia. Where can they go and find out more information on some of your golf courses and the latest on Tom Kite?
Well, I have a website, tomkitedesign.com. You know, it lists the golf courses that I'm working on right now, as well as the completed golf courses that I've done. And, you know, it has some really nice photographs of those golf courses and tells basically about what I'm trying to do in my golf course design and how, similar to my game, how I've really tried to be hands-on in all the golf course design process, all the way from the design through the permitting, through the construction, and even after the golf course is completed, to be very accessible so that, you know, if there is an issue that comes up with the golf course, or even if you just want to promote the golf course after it's open, I can be actively involved with the thing. And so I have not done hundreds of golf courses, but the golf courses that I've done, I've got a lot of pride in those golf courses and pleased with how they've turned out, and I have great relationships with the membership of all of those clubs, even to this day.
We've spent some time over at Gaylardia Country Club there in Oklahoma City, and that's a pretty special course. You need to pat yourself on the back for that one, Tom.
It really is. Gaylardia turned out very good. That's a wonderful golf club in Oklahoma City, and we are really, really pleased with the way that golf course has matured. The superintendent there has taken our design and put it in fantastic condition. And I think the membership and the guests that play there at Gaylardia are always enjoy playing the golf course.
It's a world-class facility, no doubt. Hey, we are talking to Tom Kite this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. This is an unfiltered interview as we're finding out more about him. And it is interesting, as I was kind of doing my homework on you, you know, one of the things that has gone on the record is everyone talked about how you have always had the mental edge. And you were a guy, it seems like, that was always ahead of everyone and ahead of your time. And was it early on in your career you were able to secure your sports and golf psychologist, Dr. Bob Rotella? And Dr. Rotella was on our program about a year ago, but he's kind of been that 15th club in your golf bag, hasn't he, Tom?
He really is. Like I said, I was very fortunate to grow up under the guidance of Harvey Penick. He taught me so much and helped me become a fairly accomplished golfer. But when I got out on the tour, I found it was very difficult to win. I mean, there were a lot of really good players, and I came on tour in the early 70s, and 1973 was my first year. And, you know, I went through all of the 70s, and while I was always maintained my exempt status, I was not able to put together as many wins as I had thought I would. And that was a little bit disappointing. No matter how hard I worked on my game and my golf swing and tried to learn different shots, I wasn't able to produce the wins. And in the early 80s, I had the opportunity to meet Bob Rotella. And, you know, I liked some of the stuff that he was talking about. It fit in so hand-in-hand with the lessons that Mr. Pena had taught me. And it just made so much sense. And all of a sudden, I began to understand that, you know, what I was doing wrong and, you know, losing focus when it counted the most and, you know, paying attention to other players and letting outside influences really impact my game. And all of a sudden, my, you know, understanding it made it easy to start addressing the issues in my life. My concentration level stepped up a significant amount. My focus improved dramatically, and all of a sudden I was starting in 81, all of a sudden the wind started coming. It wasn't that I was any better player, it's just that all of a sudden I figured out how to win, and for the rest of my career, I've never had any problem when I got in contention. In not closing the door and finishing the deal.
Tom, how did you learn? Because I remember when Dr. Rotella was on our program, he talked about and provided some wonderful tips and techniques on how to overcome fear in pressure situations and keep that clear mind. How do you thrive in pressure situations? Because we've talked about so much about all the consistency that you've had, and obviously he shaped and helped elevate your game to a whole new level.
Well, I think a lot of it is just recognizing that no matter how much you practice, you cannot simulate, the feelings that you're going to have when you're trying to win a golf tournament. I mean, you can go out on the putting green or the practice tee and say, all right, this putt's for the U.S. Open or this putt's for the Masters. As a kid growing up, we've all done it. But in the back of your mind, you know it's really not for the U.S. Open. It's really not for the Masters. And only when you get that putt that really is one of those big tournaments, at whatever level you're playing at, whether it's a $2 Nassau or it really is for the U.S. Open, until you get that putt, you can't really, experience those feelings that those, you know, when that adrenaline starts pumping through your body, it's a different feeling than what you get on a normal basis. And it's very hard to practice it. It's hard to simulate that when you're working on your game.
So are you saying, Tom, that it really for you was coming down to, you know, experience, being in those situations, but perhaps there was a little bit of a learning curve for you on how to win when you were on the tour?
There was no question about it. No question about it. And I think that's probably true for just about everybody else, too. I mean, it's one thing to learn how to play. It's another thing to learn how to win. And, I knew how to play. There was no question about it. But it took me a while to learn how to win. And part of it was just recognizing that those feelings that I had in my body were things that I should welcome and not be scared of. You know, when your stomach starts churning and the adrenaline starts pumping and your hands start sweating, instead of being scared of that, instead of being nervous about that, instead of being afraid of something, you know, welcoming those feelings, because understanding that those feelings, that adrenaline pumping, is what allows you to do some pretty incredible, almost superhuman things, and just recognizing that, and all of a sudden starting to look forward to those feelings, really changed my attitude.
We are going one-on-one with World Golf Hall of Famer Tom Kite, PGA great, and just has impressive credentials, and we're having such a wonderful conversation this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. And I have to tell you, Tom, I got to brag for a minute. We've got a little 7-year-old that just got back from Pinehurst last weekend, and he finished 34th in the U.S. Kids World Championships. And the one aspect of his game that he really struggled mightily with is putting. And he knows who Tom Kite is, and he wants me to ask you, what do you focus on or what do you concentrate on when you're trying to put that little white ball in the hole?
Well, I think number one thing is thinking about making the putt. I think you have to get a target as specific and as small as possible. I think it's, you know, if you practice hitting a blade of grass, well, then all of a sudden that 4 1/4 inch hole is pretty big, and it gives you a lot of room for error. If, on the other hand, you're trying to shoot at a 4 1/4 inch hole, you don't have much room for error. So I think becoming very specific in your target selection is critical. I mean, you know, you think about a person shooting a rifle or shooting a bow and arrow at a target. You know, they're not just trying to hit the target. They're trying to hit not only the center, the red center. They're trying to hit the center of the center, trying to be really specific in that. And, of course, it gives them a lot of room for error. And I think the same thing is true in golf. You know, if you're out there trying to get a shot down the fairway, you know, if you can line up on a telephone pole or, you know, a tree off in the distance and get, you know, have that target be much smaller, well, then you're probably not going to miss it too far, and you're going to have a much better chance of hitting it in the fairway. Same thing goes true for putts. You know, really practice trying to be, you know, stick a tee in the ground and putt at that tee. You know, and if you can hit that tee, well, you know, you got a pretty good chance you're going to be making a lot of putts.
Tom Kite is with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Again, we want to direct you to our radio website. That's eradiosports.com. We're having an exclusive interview with him. Great conversation. And I've got to ask you, while we've got you on the radio waves, talk about your 92 U.S. Open at Pebble Beach. Obviously, that's going to be your favorite, would you say?
Well, no question about it. You know, I had gone a long time without winning major championships. I had won a number of tournaments and had contended in majors, and it was almost, you know, kind of one of those things where a lot of people thought that I never would win a major championship. I had won the Players' Championship, which some consider the fifth major, but, you know, most people consider the British Open, the U.S. Open, the Masters, and the PGA the four majors, and those had been very elusive to me through the years, and so it was quite gratifying when in 92, the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach, you know, everything came to my way that week. I had a great week of playing golf, and I mean, I was so focused and so calm and throughout the entire week. It's probably as focused as I've ever been at a golf tournament, and totally locked into what I was trying to do and hitting good shots and not worrying about the score at all, just into the process. It was a great week, and everything fell my way.
And I've got to ask you as well, what, two times the runner-up coming in second at the Masters, that obviously, I wish you could have a mulligan and do that over again, but what was that experience like for you?
You know, it was a wonderful, Augusta was a great tournament for me. I played very well. I had numerous top tens. I had great opportunities, some wonderful opportunities to win, and I had a couple of them taken away from me, and then I had a couple of them that I gave away, where I didn't perform as well as I should have on Sunday afternoon. But all in all, Augusta was a great course for me and a great tournament. I really enjoyed it. You know, I'm disappointed that I wasn't able to get to wear that green jacket at least once, but still have some great memories from there.
Tom Kite, you're going to be 60 coming up here in the month of December. Have you slowed down any bit at all, or are you still on a plane traveling every single week?
Well, not every week, but I'm really not in any great hurry to slow down. You know, I guess when they put me in that box in the ground, I'll slow down. But, you know, to be realistic, I'm enjoying what I'm doing right now, kind of like a 12-year-old kid out there at the golf course. I enjoy hitting golf balls. I enjoy playing. I love competing. And, of course, now I've got this opportunity to get into golf course design, and I'm enjoying that. So I'm trying to stay busy because I really don't want to slow down.
Okay, Tom, my final question for you is, quickly tell us about the completed course, Liberty National. This is nestled on the coast in New Jersey City, New Jersey, and you can see a spectacular backdrop of the Statue of Liberty, correct?
Yes, I had the great fortune to meet a person at a corporate outing that was, you know, in control of a piece of property in Jersey City, and he said they were going to try to turn it into a golf course, and And he told me where the location was, and I said, well, no, wait a minute. There can't be a couple hundred acres of undeveloped property in Jersey City. And he said, no, no, this is one of the most contaminated pieces of property in, just a real unsightly piece of property in Jersey City. Through the 30s and the 40s, it was covered with those large, huge petroleum tanks that you see down in south of Houston and all up and down the East Coast there by Newark Airport. Those huge petroleum tanks just covered the property, and so when they cleaned those things off in the 60s, there was a lot of contamination on the property. It had been used. They had put some warehouses on it, and it basically was just a junky piece of property that was a total unsightly mess on the New Jersey landscape. And yet this gentleman had this idea of putting a golf course on it, and, it's 1,000 yards from the Statue of Liberty. It sits right on the New York Bay. It has unbelievable skyline views of the Manhattan and New York skyline. We took a piece of property that basically was dead flat and built a beautiful little golf course on it that because the location has received a lot of attention, and just right around the corner, it's going to be hosting its first major professional golf tournament, the Barclays Championship, which is the first tournament in the FedEx Cup chase, and so this'll be our first opportunity to have the tour players come in there and compete on a tournament there, and we are very excited about the opportunity to watch them play and see how they handle the golf course.
And it's a fantastic course. It's beautiful. Looking at some of the photos on your website, just tell me quickly as we get ready to wrap up this interview, where would you stay or where would you suggest as far as lodging and everything if you wanted to come out to that area and play the course?
You got New York City that's a 7-minute ferry ride all the way across. So, there are hundreds of thousands of hotels and hotel rooms all around that site. So it's a fantastic facility. It's just off the New Jersey Turnpike, as I said, right on New York Bay, and just a great location with probably 25 million people within a 40-minute drive of that place.
You can go to TomKiteDesign.com. That is TomKiteDesign.com to find out more information on Liberty National. Hey, they got Vanderbilt Legends Club, Galordia Country Club in Oklahoma City. Good stuff. Hey, we've got a ton of golf courses here in the great state of Texas, but we could always use an extra one here in Fort Worth. So come on to Fort Worth, Tom.
Well, I'll tell you what, I would love that. And, as a matter of fact, I'm playing the Champions Tour right now. I miss the opportunity to get back up there in the Metroplex. Having played the Byron Nelson and the Colonial tournaments for so many years, those were just fantastic tournaments. And, unfortunately, we have three tournaments in the state of Texas, but they're in San Antonio, Houston, and Austin. And I love having the one in Austin in my hometown, but I do wish we had one in the Metroplex up there because I have a lot of good friends in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and it'd be wonderful to get up there and see them and have a chance to have a Champions Tour event up in that area.
Fantastic. Tom, congratulations on all your amazing success, and we definitely, always an open invitation. We've got to have you back. I've got so many more things that I wanted to talk to you about.
Thank you so much. It's great to be with you.
Thank you so much. That was Tom Kite. We're going to step aside on the Big E Sports Show. We'll be right back.